I want to think about this phrase, a base fellow, or a worthless person, a wicked person, or in the old English, a son of Belial. And it's a phrase that you get quite often in the Proverbs. Proverbs 6:12, 16:27, 19:28. Solomon's very keen to condemn a worthless or a wicked person, a base fellow. And the phrase, I think, is really alluding to people who are called that in the life of his father David. You take 2 Samuel 20, one of the people who rose up against David at the end of his life, there was a base fellow, same phrase, a worthless, a wicked person, whose name was Sheba, a Benjamite. You can say that he probably was supporting Saul, or the remnants of Saul's dynasty, and he blew the trumpet and said, "We have no portion in David, nor any inheritance in the son of Jesse." And this same phrase, a base fellow, a worthless person, is the phrase used about Nabal, 1 Samuel 25. It's used about those who were sort of in David's camp but weren't fully supportive of him, 1 Samuel 30. As I've said, it's used about Sheba. And it's used about those who tried to overthrow Solomon as king in 2 Chronicles 13, verse 7. And yet when we come to the Proverbs, there is Solomon condemning worthless or base fellows. When he came to the throne, Solomon actually had quite a lot of potential opposition. Don't forget, there'd been a whole series of coups, attempted coups, just before he came to power. There'd been all sorts of people who had tried to become king, and he could just have been another one who lasted for a bit and then got thrown out like the others were. So he was very keen to establish his power base. And there were all kinds of people. For example, the remnants of the Saul movement, the Benjamites, Sheba, for example, who wanted to get the throne off the house of David. Perhaps Nabal had some family supporters. There were those, as I say, in David's camp in 1 Samuel 30 who weren't fully supportive of him. And there were those who wanted to overthrow Solomon as king, 2 Chronicles 13, 7, who were called base fellows. And here's Solomon in the Proverbs condemning such people as not having wisdom, etc. And everything he says in Proverbs is kind of true, but it's got a more human, I think, agenda to it from his point of view. He's dividing everybody into this simplistic black and white cowboy and Indian, cops and robbers, good guy and bad guy sort of dichotomy. And that is far too simplistic, it seems to me, because good people are sometimes bad, and bad people are sometimes good. And what's the ultimate sort of balance that God's going to kind of allow? Well, only God knows that. And you're foolish to just try to divide people up like that. It's a very common human mistake. And there is a passage in Solzhenitsyn, Gulag Archipelago, where he reflects on the Gulag, the labor camps in the Soviet Union, and he says, oh that it were all true. I'm sort of summarizing in English in a little half paragraph there of his reflections, where he's sort of, oh that it were all true, that all you had to do was to put all the bad people in camps, or put them on an island or on a continent or in a particular country or territory. But the line, I'm quoting Solzhenitsyn, the line that divides good and evil runs right through the human heart. And who wants to cut out a part of their own heart? In other words, it is not so simple. And yet we all fall into this simple dichotomy, and Solomon does in Proverbs. All that he says is true, but he's saying it with a certain agenda, to justify himself, to paint himself as absolutely whitewashed, to whitewash his father's sins, which were many, and to present himself as the ultimately wise, good, righteous king, and any possible critic as being foolish, idiotic, evil, a worthless base fellow, etc. We've got to be careful we don't do that, because that is where judgmentalism comes from. That's where stereotyping comes from. That's where racism comes from. All white people are like that. All black people are like this. This is the problem with wanting to divide everything up into these simple two categories. Now, ultimately, I suppose in the end, God will divide people into those who shall live eternally and those who shall not. But that is for God to do, and we as humans have this terrible desire to judge. And one of the great things that arises from believing very simply that God is the judge and that there will be a final division of wheat from chaff and weeds from wheat, etc., good fish from bad fish at the last day, one of the great advantages of believing that is that you do not have to do that judgment now. And the reason why we are not to judge is not simply because God is the judge at the end of the day, but also because we cannot judge. And that needs to be factored in as we struggle against our desire to judge. You may say, oh, well, I'm not judgmental. Well, if you're not, well done, I commend you. But all I can say is that all of us, because of being human, are strongly tempted to be judgmental and to fall into this simple black-white dichotomy. Well, of course, I am white. You know, I'm righteous and everyone else is bad or the others are bad. When it's not like that. Now, on the other hand, you can also slip into the so many shades of grey problem, whereby you can no longer tell right from wrong because, well, it's all so difficult to judge and, well, we don't know, maybe this, maybe that. No, we are given fairly clear guidelines in the scriptures and principles in the scriptures to guide our own personal decision-making and our own personal morality. And those who slip into what society would consider major sin, I suppose, began that slide by this so many shades of grey sort of thing. And it's only when they're sort of caught red-handed that they maybe in prison look back and think, yeah, well, this is where so many shades of grey led me to. And yet the point is that although that must be true for us in our personal lives, it is not for us to enforce that judgment upon others, that we decide that they are, as Solomon likes to say, foolish, worthless, wicked persons, a base fellow, and we, of course, are spotlessly righteous, which is how, by implication, he presents himself in Proverbs. And especially not to use God's truth, as I think Solomon did, for personal self-justification. This is a very frequent failing, I think, particularly among small-time Protestant groups. And we've got to be so careful of that, because we are justified by grace, not by ourselves, and we are not to compare ourselves among ourselves, as Paul warns the Corinthians, which is not wise, but only against the Lord Jesus.